The economics of immigration reform.
Don't miss the numbers, the news, and Kai's final note. Subscribe to the Marketplace podcast. Find it on iTunes or online at marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM in New York, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson. President Obama is praising a plan that has emerged in the Senate for comprehensive immigration reform. The plan would offer the nation's 11 million illegal immigrants an avenue to citizenship and tighten border security. One of the senators behind the plan is Democrat Michael Bennett, Senator of Colorado, and he joins us now. Good morning.
Good morning. It's good to be with you.
Great to have you here. Well, let me ask you this about one of the issues that it sounds like still needs to be worked out, which is how much border enforcement is going to have to be part of this package in order to provide a pathway to citizenship for people who are already here.
Well, you said it well, which is that is still to be worked out. I think it's, you know, something we're going to debate, and we should. The expression in the document is one that reflects a reasonable concern by the American people that we need to secure our border. We need to make sure that it's secure. And the good news here is that once that's done, finally we're going to be able to give some resolution to people that have been living the shadows in this country.
Do you see like a wall going up as part of this?
I don't think so.
What about just an electronic wall?
Yeah, I think that there's all kinds of technology, and there's a lot of technology we can use. There are people that we can deploy, and the important point is to assure people that the border is secure. You know, it's an interesting moment that we're having this conversation because this is the first time in a long time where there really is a net reduction in people coming over the border rather than an increase. And I think that's one of the things that's given us the opportunity to put some politics aside and actually start addressing the problem.
Now, I'm sure there's lobbying going on in this process, people trying to get you to do one thing or another with this. Where does the business community stand? Do they want these workers to be made legal?
You know, in Colorado, it all depends on what you do. If you're the peach growers in Palisade, Colorado, on the West Slope, you've got one point of view about what needs to happen because your issue is that you've got to have seasonal workers for 3 weeks out of the year. If you're cattle ranchers on the Eastern Plains, you've got another set of issues. The ski resort has another set of issues. The high-tech community, another. Their case is a business case. The lack of certainty that the broken immigration system is causing for our businesses is hurting them. But the thing that we have learned in our state is that they had huge commonality on this issue, including figuring out a path forward for the 11 million people that are here that are undocumented.
How much of an economic impact do you think this is going to have? If this whole big immigration reform package goes through as you envision it, how much of an economic impact will it have in the U.S.?
I think it's going to be huge, both in terms of the revenue that is generated from the fines and taxes that are paid by people that are now going to be paying those taxes, and also because these are huge industries that we're talking about. Agriculture alone, just for the state of Colorado, is a $40 billion a year industry. And if we don't figure out how to deal with these workforce issues that we have, this industry is going to migrate south of our border. We don't want that in our state.
Do you have a sense of what this is all going to cost the taxpayers?
I don't think we know yet, and we're going to have to obviously figure that out, and that's going to be part of the discussion.
Senator Michael Bennett, Democrat of Colorado, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Well, we'll get a look at Facebook's quarterly earnings today. The company's stock is down about 19% since going public last May. But some analysts are giving Facebook another look thanks to its mobile strategy. Tracy Samuelson reports.
If I open up the Facebook app on my phone, I see photos from a friend's trip to Senegal and then down below an ad from Virgin Mobile right there in my newsfeed. Facebook calls these sponsored stories or promoted posts, and they're a large part of why.
In fourth quarter, we're expecting mobile to represent roughly 25% of Facebook's advertising revenues.
Analyst Aaron Kessler is with the investment bank Raymond James. That 25% is up from, well, basically no advertising revenue from mobile, nada, just 6 months ago, which was a big problem now that more people are checking Facebook on their phones. These earnings are a way for investors to check Facebook's mobile strategy.
It'll give us an indication of how much this strategy is working.
Tim Beharin is president of Creative Strategies in San Jose.
And then how much more they probably need to adjust to make it even more profitable going forward.
Bottom line, Beharin says Facebook is on the rebound from its rocky IPO. In New York, I'm Tracy Samuelson for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are mixed in global trading this morning. 0.1% lower right now in Frankfurt, but up 2.2% in Tokyo. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow added 72 points to close at 13,954.
Show Marketplace how much you like us. Stay connected to our hosts, reporters, and top stories on Facebook. Find us at facebook.com/APM Marketplace.
The Federal Reserve wraps up its latest meeting today in Washington, and the expectation is that there will not be any big news coming out of it. The Fed has already said it's going to keep interest rates near zero until the unemployment rate drops below a certain level. But as Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer reports, some people will still be hanging on the Fed's every word.
The question Fed members are debating now is whether what they're doing is effective. Ken Kuttner is a former Fed economist, now at Williams College. He says pay attention to the Fed, because if you can decipher all the Fed speak, you're golden.
If you were better at reading tea leaves than the next guy, and you were able to use that to come up with a better forecast of what the Fed was going to do, that'll help you make money.
Because you could guess when the Fed would, say, not buy as many bonds. Those bonds would lose value, and you wouldn't want to be caught holding them. Bob McTeer is a former president of the Dallas Fed. He says the Fed tea leaves can tell you about broad economic trends.
There's a lot of information out there that's like canaries in the coal mine. You want something that they've noticed that hasn't yet made it into the statistics.
McTeer says Fed watching is a spectator sport, like football for people in the money business, with a nice payoff if you understand the coach's complicated plays. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
And finally, luxury fashion house Dolce & Gabbana has launched a new perfume for babies. According to the New York Daily News, the perfume includes notes of citrus, honey, and melon, and is meant to enhance a baby's natural scent. No word yet, though, on why babies need a perfume. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.